The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ ماشاءاللہ viewers of Madani channel, you're watching our special series of programs Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this series of programs we look into our rich heritage. Yes, I keep on saying this, I keep on emphasizing this. As Muslims, we do have a rich heritage. The rich past that we have, the pious predecessors that we have, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ummatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the events that have taken place in the history of Islam has been passed down from generation to generation. Not so that we can have a good bedtime story, it's so that we can learn a lesson. Learn a lesson from the events that happened yesterday, so that we can make a change today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. And inshallah, today we're going to talk about the great Imam Azam, Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah ta'ala. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And as I've said many times before, the reason for doing this is so that you become aware of the blessings. You try and act upon the blessings. You pass these blessings on to others so that other people also become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows, that one extra Durood e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has stated that whoever recites Durood Salat upon me on the day of Friday, I will intercede for him on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, it's been stated that Sayyidina Datta Ganj Baksh al-Hajweri Hanfi rahmatullah ta'ala, he had a great devotion to Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala. And he said that one day, whilst he was traveling in Syria, he said, I visited the blessed Rawda, the blessed resting place of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, the muazzin of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala sallam. He said, there I fell asleep and I find myself in Makkatul Mukarramah. And what I saw were that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam was at the door of the tribe of Bani Shaiba. And he was holding an elderly man as a small child is held. Overwhelmed with love, I moved towards the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I kissed his blessed feet. Oh, how fortunate is this person. He said that in my heart, I was also very surprised as to who this wee person was that was with him. In the meantime, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew the state of my astonishment by virtue of his spiritual power and blessed knowledge of ghaib. And while addressing, said to me, he is Abu Hanifa and he is your Imam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He said, after relating this dream, Sayyidina Datta Ganj Baksh rahmatullah ta'ala stated, from this I understood that Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala is one of the blessed personages whose attributes are forever like the established rulings of Sharia. That is why the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala sallam loves him so much. From the love which he has for Sayyidina Imam Azam rahmatullah ta'ala, it can be understood that the way it was not possible for the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala to make a mistake, in the same way, by the grace of Allah and his beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa is also safe from committing mistakes. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madani channel, from this particular parable, not only we have learned about the glory and greatness of Sayyidina Imam Azam rahmatullah ta'ala, but we also have learned that the bestowal of Allah Azza wa Jal, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is also aware of the condition of the hearts. Hence, answering the question that arose in Sayyidina Datta Jivari's mind in his dream, the beloved Rasul said to him that he is Abu Hanifa and he is your Imam. It was a dream, and our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave many news of ghaib even during his blessed life as well. You know, when you see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream, then it is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, people say that, you know, I saw this person. There can be doubt whoever you saw. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you see me in a dream, that it is me. Nobody else can take my guise. Nobody can take my form, my face, nobody can take that. And obviously, we have never seen the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a feeling that when you are blessed with that vision, you know. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you know that you've seen me, you have seen me, and it is not shaitan, because shaitan cannot take my guise. You could see your father, you could see your mother, you could see your wife, you could see your children, and think to yourself, but maybe them people in that guise are actually shaitan in their guise trying to make you commit evil. But if you see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it's the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you have seen. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also blessed with the ability of the knowledge of this scene. Allah azza wa jalla bestowed him with this. And just to give you one particular event that took place, Sayyidina Unaysa radiallahu ta'ala has said that her father stated that when I fell ill, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to inquire after me. And after looking at me, he said, "This illness will not harm you. But what will your condition when after my apparent demise, you will go blind after living a long time?" After hearing this, I humbly said, "Ya Rasulullah, as sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that time I will have patience for the sake of earning a reward." He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you do it, you will enter paradise without accountability." After the apparent demise of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lost his sight. Then after a period of time, Allah azza wa jalla restored his sight and he passed away. So from this statement we see, not only do we see that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has knowledge of the unseen, but the companions, they also accepted this statement that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had knowledge of the unseen. The companions knew that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had knowledge of the unseen. And whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretold anything, they did not question it. They did not think, why, how is this possible that you know this? I am healthy, I have eyesight. How is it possible that you know I'm going to lose my eyesight? They didn't. Because they knew if the Prophet said it, the Prophet had that, Allah Azza wa Jalla bestowed this upon him, that he had the knowledge of the unseen. And that is something that we need to believe. Giving news of one's knowledge of ghaib, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if knowledge were suspended in the Pleiades, in the Suriya, some people from the descendants of Persia would get it even from there. Sayyidina Imam Ibn Hajar Makki, rahmatullah ta'ala, stated that this sacred hadith refers to the blessed personality of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala. And there is no doubt in this fact, as in this era, no one from the people of Persia attained the status regarding knowledge that he had, or rather no one even attained the scholarly status that his students had. It also contains the clear miracle of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he gave the news of ghaib, and that is, he stated what was going to happen. Viewers of Madani Channel, today we are talking about Imam Azam, Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah ta'ala, the great Imam, the scholar that we follow. And again, you know, I've asked this question many, many times. What do we know about his life? Who is this person? And again, unfortunately, we know very, very, very little about him. His blessed name is Noman. His father's name is Sabit, and his kunya is Abu Hanifa. And his title is Imam Azam. He was born in 80 Al-Hijra in Kufa. And he passed away on the 2nd of Shaban, 150 Al-Hijri, at the age of 70. His blessed shrine is situated in the graveyard of Baghdad and is the center of attraction of people even today. All four Imams of Fiqh, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, are rightful and the followers of correct belief are brothers to one another. Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa's rank is the highest amongst all the four Imams. And one of the reasons for this is that he is the only Tabi'i amongst the other four.
Tabi, if you use the Mother Channel, refers to the one who met any of the blessed companions in the state of Iman and also passed away in the state of Iman. And according to different narrations, Sayyidina Imam Azam Rahmatullah Ta'ala was privileged to meet a few of the blessed companions, and he had also heard the blessed sayings of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directly from some of those companions. So this gives you a little introduction of the status that he had. He was blessed with the opportunity to see their companions. So he was at that area of the time. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the best after me are my companions, and then the best after them, and then the best after them. And he was amongst those, the people who also said that he was heard the blessed sayings of the Prophet Rasul from the companions directly himself. We're going to take a small break now, inshallah. We're going to go to the first package of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to give you some of the attributes of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
The Caliph Harun Rashid once requested Sayyidina Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi, please relate the attributes and characteristics of the Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi. He replied beautifully, the Imam Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi was a very pious and ascetic person. He Rahmatullah Alayhi used to abstain from every action which was impermissible in Sharia, had aversion to the vain and idle talks, being quiet most of the time. He Rahmatullah Alayhi used to remain engaged in contemplating about Islam and hereafter. If anybody asked any question to Imam, he Rahmatullah Alayhi would answer if he knew otherwise. He Rahmatullah Alayhi would remain quiet. Used to safeguard his religion and belief from all aspects. Used words of praises for every Muslim, mean would not find fault and commit backbiting against anybody. Listening to this, Khalifa Harun Rashid said, obviously, these are the manners of the righteous person. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow, and we delve into the history of Islam, into our rich heritage. We find about our pious predecessors. We find out how they lived their lives so that we can learn something from yesterday, make a change today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. And today we are looking at the life of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala. And before the break, we mentioned a little bit about where he was born and where he passed away and where his blessed grave was, and the fact that he was a tabi. He met some of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With regards to some of the attributes, Sayyidina Abu Naim has stated that the appearance and state, face, clothes and shoes of Imam Abu Hanifa were good, and he would help everyone who would visit him. He was of a medium height. He would converse with all people in a very good manner, and he would abundantly use fragrance, aether. And when he would go out, he would be recognized due to his pleasant fragrance. Sayyidina Imam Azam Rahmatullah Ta'ala would recite the Holy Quran along with propagating Islamic knowledge throughout the day, and would spend the whole night in worship and spiritual exercise. You know, one common thing, on this program, we talk about our pious predecessors. We look into the lives. And one thing that we see throughout the lives of all of our pious predecessors is they had an attachment to the Quran. They would read the Quran as much as possible. And not only that, they would all perform the act of calling people to the path of righteousness. They would all do that. All of them would spend their lives in calling people towards Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is something for us to reflect on. What connection do we have to the Quran? What connection do we have to calling people to the path of Allah? And this is what, you know, Dawud Islami is all about, calling people. Calling people, that I must strive to rectify people and rectify the people of the whole world, calling people to the path of righteousness. And again, how many of us have that connection to the Quran? And so many times, you know, when I read out about the attributes of any of our pious predecessors, the connection with the Quran, they would recite the Holy Quran, they would propagate Islamic knowledge, they would spend the time worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they all had this common trait inside them. Now, one thing you need to understand, viewers of Mother Channel, that all of these people were human beings like me and you. They were human beings like me and you. They had needs, they had wants, they had bodies to clothe, they had stomachs to feed, they had wives, they had children, they had all of these things that we have. But at the same time, they managed their lives. They managed their lives in such a way that they were able to sacrifice we could say, sacrifice the needs and wants that maybe me and you think, definitely we got to have them, but they sacrifice them. They sacrifice that comfort. They sacrifice that comfort zone. Why? So that they could worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and secondly, they could propagate the deen of Islam. It is stated that Sayyidina Misr bin Kidam Rahmatullah Ta'ala said that I once went to Masjid Imam Abu Hanifa and I saw that after offering Salatul Fajr, he imparted Islamic knowledge to the people throughout the day. During this time, he only took breaks for Salah and after Salatul Isha, he went to his home. From Salatul Fajr, yeah? From Salatul Fajr to Salatul Isha, he spent all of that time in imparting knowledge, teaching people the knowledge of the deen. You know, it's just amazing that he never took any breaks. He continued with this task. And you see, again, this is another thing from the life of the pious predecessors, that they never wasted time. The time management skills were incredible, how they managed the time. And we see it today with the life of Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawud Islam, that how he manages his time. Everything, his time is managed to such an extent. Is, you know, there's things that I've been told about how he manages his time, how he makes sure he does things on time, how he doesn't leave anything for tomorrow, because his mindset is that if I leave it for tomorrow, then the task will double, it will get a big attack. And so no matter how weak he feels, no matter how tired he feels, no matter what his situation is, he tries to get the jobs that he needs to do today, done today. And we see that they spent this time. They didn't waste this time. It is stated that after a short while, he came to the masjid in simple clothes, wearing much fragrance with a luminous face because he was busy offering nafl salah in the corner of the masjid until dawn. So he went home at Isha after spending all day imparting the knowledge. After a short space of time, he came back. He was wearing simple clothes, beautiful fragrance, and he spent his time in offering nafl salah in the corner of the masjid. Thereafter, he returned home and came back after dressing, changes his dress, and then he offered the Fajr Salat. And with the Jamaat congregation, after offering the Salah with Jamaat, he continued to teach and deliver Dars like the previous day until Isha. I thought that he would have been exhausted, so he would surely rest tonight, but he followed the same routine the second night as well. Then he spent the same routine in the third night as well. He goes on to say that I was very impressed and decided that I would serve him throughout my life. So I started living in this masjid permanently. During my stay, I never saw Sayyidina Imam Azam Rahmatullah without Som in the day and heedless of worship and Nawafil in the night. However, he would take a little rest just before Zuhr. Time management. How the pious people of the past, they managed their time. They made sure that, you know, they didn't waste any of their time. And unfortunately, you know, nowadays we waste so much time on this. The amount of time we waste on social media, the amount of time that we waste on our phones, if we were to spend a percentage of that time, you know, or reading the Quran, then you would see what a difference we would be. You know, grab your phones. I found it once or twice. I'm sure I can find it again if I try. You can find out what apps you've used in the last week, how much time you spent on certain apps in the last week. Now, if, for example, you used to say to me that for my job, I need to use WhatsApp, okay. For my job, I need to use the internet. Okay, fair enough. But everything else, you can go on your phone and you can find out how many hours in the last week you spent on this app, on this app, on this app, on this app. Find that on your phone. It'll be there. Take away the internet usage because you're saying to me that you use it for work. Take away the WhatsApp usage because you're saying to me you use it for work. Okay, the rest of the time. Have a look at the rest of that time. And you will see that when you look at that time, how much time you have wasted. And if you were to only use a little bit of that time, a percentage of that time, then you see a huge change in your life. You know, I was reading the other day that they say there is a 100-hour rule. And the 100-hour rule is that if you spend 100 hours on any discipline, then after spending 100 hours in that discipline, then there is a chance that you would be better in that discipline than 75% of the world. And so what the people are saying is that, for example, if you break that 100 hours down to 18 minutes a day, 18 minutes a day over a year, you discipline yourself to do something 18 minutes a day, that you will be better than 75% of the population after a year. What about our ibadat? Do we spend an extra 18 minutes a day, an extra 18 minutes a day reading the Quran? Amir al-Sunnah says to us in the Pieties booklet, you know, this is what the psychologist is saying. Our Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of the Islam, has already told us, read a book written by a Sunni scholar, read a book published by Maktabat al-Madina, read it for 12 minutes a day, just 12 minutes a day, and you'll see a change. Viewers of the channel, we need to make this commitment in our life, to make a change in our life, to acquire the knowledge of the deen, to get that connection with the Quran, at least spend 12 minutes reading the Quran. Again, Amir al-Sunnah, what does he say to us with regards to the Quran? Read at least 3 verses of the Quran every day with translation and commentary. Again, these small tasks, where there's people say to you that you spend 18 minutes a day, you'll become an expert almost. Amir al-Sunnah is saying, look, 3 verses a day. 3 verses a day. And if you read 3 verses a day with translation and commentary, the impact that it will have on your heart, the effect that it will have in your life, inshallah, you will see a change. So please make an intention now to start reading the Quran. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the Kalam of the day. And inshallah, when we come back from the Kalam of the day, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bula lo apne dar par ab to gham khana badoshon ko phire kab tak zaleel o khwar dar dar ठिकाने से शबे फुरकत ढले बर आए अरमां या रसूल अल्लाह करो तुम मस्ता का अपने मेहमान رسول اللہ بلا لو اب تو قدموں میں میری جایا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودا جا پارا زہ جرایا رسول اللہ دلم پژمردہ آوارا زیسیاں یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زیجران یا رسول اللہ تمہاری یاد کا غلبہ ہمیشہ دل پہ ہو تاری لگا دو عشق کی اپنے خدا را ایسی چنگاری اسی خواہش میں کٹ جائے میری عمر رواں ساری چسوئے من گزر آری منے مس کی زناداری فدائے نقش نالینت کنم جا یا رسول اللہ فدائے نقش نالینت فدائے نقش نالینت کنم جا یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زی جران یا رسول اللہ دلم پژمردہ آوارا زی سیاں یا رسول اللہ تمہاری نعت سے ہی ہے کرم کا سلسلہ پہ ہم ہے خواہش وقت آخر جب نکلنے والا ہو یہ دم زباں پر جاری ہو نغمہ تیرا دل یہ کہے اس دم زے جا میں ہو بے تو مستم بزنجیرے تو دل بستم نمی گویم کے من ہستم سخندان یا رسول اللہ نمی گویم کے من ہستم سخندان یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا سے ہجران یا رسول اللہ دینم پشمردہ آوارا سے سیاں یا رسول اللہ سیاہی دفتر اعمال کی ہوتی نہیں ہے کم عذاب قبر و محشر کا مجھے اب کھا رہا ہے غم شرم ساری گناہوں پر اور آنکھیں ہیں میری نم ذکر گا خیش حیرانم سیا شد روز سیانم پشیمانم پشیمانم پشیمان یا رسول اللہ پشیمانم پشیمانم پشیمان یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا سے ہجران یا رسول اللہ دینم پشمردہ آوارا سے سیاں یا رسول اللہ سر محشر محامد پیش ہو جو در سیاہ کارا کہے بے ساختہ جو دیکھے رحمت بر گناہ گارا میری امید ہو تم اے شفا اے درد بیمارا چوبا زو اے شفاعت را کشائی بر گناہ گارا مکن محروم جا میرا درا یا رسول اللہ مکن محروم جا میرا درا یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ سودہ جا پارا سے ہجران یا رسول اللہ دلم پشمردہ آوارا سے سیا یا رسول اللہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madri Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we're talking about some of the attributes, some of the blessings of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala. And before the break, I mentioned the fact that the ibadat that he used to do, that he used to read the Quran, he used to teach the deen to people, he used to pass on the knowledge of Islam, he used to fast, the voluntary fast that he used to do. He used to worship Allah Azza wa Jal throughout the night as well. But like I said earlier on, he was a human being at the end of the day. He had needs, he had wants. And so he also had a form of livelihood. And he also took up the means of earning a livelihood by doing it via trade. And he earned a halal livelihood along with teaching and delivering dars and the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he not only do good to people and follow Sharia principles himself in trade, but he would also urge others who would work with him. So he would make sure that not only would he follow the Sharia principles of trade, but he will also encourage others to do it as well. And I think this for some people is also an eye-opener, that are there Sharia principles in trade? Yes, there are. There are Islamic rulings that we need to follow in any business transaction that we do, or any business that we do, or any job that we do as well. So again, Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dalal Islami, many times on Madri Channel, he's requested people to Sharia scan themselves. Phone up Dalal Iftar and say, look, this is what I'm doing. This is my business. Is it halal? Is it jais? Is it allowable for me to do this or not? Because there are certain trades that are not allowed. And again, it's advisable for us to do this. It is stated that Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ta'ala used to do trade with Sayyidina Hafs bin Abdul Rahman Rahmatullah Ta'ala, and he would send him goods for trade. Once he was sending him goods and he said to him, "Oh Hafs, such and such cloth has some defect in it." And he said to him that when you sell this material, let the potential buyer, the buyer, know that it has this defect. Now Sayyidina Hafs bin Abdul Rahman Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he sold the material, but he forgot to mention the defect at the time of selling it. And he didn't even remember who he sold it to. Now when Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ta'ala found out about it, he gave the price of the entire cloth in sadaqah. This again is something for us to look at and ponder over. That when the business partner of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa sold a defective thing by mistake, he did not use its price, but rather he gave it all in sadaqah. But nowadays, unfortunately, not only do we sell defect goods, but we sell them on purpose, knowing they are defective, and we hide their defects. We hide the defects in the cars that we sell. We hide the defects in the goods that we sell. We hide the defects in the material that we sell. In all of these things, we hide the defects. You know, even if it comes to selling fruit and vegetable, that will have the good ones at the top and then the bad ones we'll put in, and we'll put them in as well, and we'll sell the defective fruit or the fruit that's gone off or the vegetables that have gone off or the car that is, you know, we'll hide the faults in it and we'll disguise all of these things. And again, you need to have that honest trait within yourself. As Muslims, traditionally Muslims have always been considered the most honest people. But unfortunately, through our actions today, what do people think about us? You know, do they look at Muslims as honest people when it comes to business transactions, when it comes to buying a car of someone, when it comes to buying something from someone? Are Muslims considered to be honest? They should be, because the deen teaches them to be. The deen of Islam teaches them to be honest, to have these morals, to have this honesty inside ourselves. And unfortunately, we have lost our moral values to such an extent that if a child succeeds in selling something to someone very expensive by telling a lie or cheating, we consider this to be a great achievement. And we show appreciation that, oh, you did a fantastic job. You got rid of that, you were able to sell that. Well done. Well done, you sold that dodgy stuff. Well done, you sold that dodgy car. Well done, you sold this. And we praise that person because we think it's a skill now. Unfortunately, it's become something to admire. This ability to be able to sell faulty goods, to be able to make a fool of someone, has become a skill that we admire. This is not something that we should be admired. This is not something that we should admire. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none, this is the famous hadith, none of you can become a true mu'min, i.e. a true Muslim, until he likes for his brother the things that he likes for himself. None of you can become a true mu'min, i.e. a true Muslim, until he likes for his brother the thing that he likes for himself. Do you like to have defective goods sold to you? Do you like to have, you know, a car sold to you that you drive down the road and half an hour later it's going to break down, and the owner knew that it was faulty, the owner knew it was going to break down, the owner knew these things. Now, okay, yes, sometimes it happens that the owner will sell you a car and he sold it honestly that he didn't think there was anything wrong with the car, but unfortunately something went wrong. That's not his fault. He's unaware of that. But in some cases, what happens is the owner is aware of the fault. He's aware that this car is not going to last. He's aware of the fact that as soon as he gets it on the motorway and he starts driving, it's going to overheat. He's aware of that, but he's hiding that. He's aware of all them things. In the same way that they're aware of the defectiveness in the cloth, they're aware that what's going to go wrong in this cloth. They're aware of the fact that this cloth, they made a mistake in buying it, and that as soon as you wash it, this cloth will fall apart. They're aware of all these things, but they hide it from the person. They're aware of the fact that these bags, they're very flimsy, they'll fall apart. The quality is low, and they hide it, and they'll say to, no, it's a very high quality, genuine quality. You know, nothing will ever go wrong with this. Lifetime guarantee, they'll use these phrases, but when something goes wrong, all of a sudden the lifetime guarantee is gone away as well. Is this what we've become? That for a few pennies, for a few pounds, you are selling your iman? Is this what we have become? Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala wasallam passed by a heap of grain. He put his blessed hand into it, and when the blessed fingers of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala wasallam felt wetness, he said, "O owner of the grain, what is this?" The man humbly replied, "O Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, rain has fallen on it." He said, "So why don't you put the wet grain on top of the heap for people to see? The one who cheats is not amongst us." From this blessed hadith, viewers of the channel, it can be learned that to conceal the naturally developed defect is also a crime. Look at the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the concealment of rain-soaked grain as an adulteration. May Allah azza wa jalla save us from telling lies and the destruction of cheating in business. And that again is something that we look again from the lives of our pious predecessors, the honesty, the admirability of the character. People used to look up to them. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he announced his prophethood, what was he known as? He was known as Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. Do people look at me and you and see us as the trustworthy one? Do they look at me and you and see us as the honest one? Are we the honest ones? Are we the trustworthy ones? Unfortunately, no. And that is something that we need to ponder over. Cheating Muslims, viewers of Mother Channel, is a very bad habit. And remember this, if we sell any defective thing without mentioning the defect by swearing false oaths, we have violated the right of the owner, and for this, you'll have to pay for it on the day of judgment. You know, you sell this mobile phone and you say this mobile phone, the battery life isn't very good. You know, it needs recharging every 3 or 4 hours. Rather than if it was new, it wouldn't need to charge for 24 hours. And you've sold it with that defect and you've told him about that defect. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when they say, "Well, so what's the battery life on the phone?" "Yeah, very good. And I only have to charge it once every 2 days. And I never need to charge it. You know, it's really, really good." And yet you know that the battery life on that phone isn't that, and you've sold it accordingly. You know that this is wrong. I don't have to tell you this is wrong. You know that this is wrong.
And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should wish for others what you wish for yourself, want for others what you want for yourself, would you want this? Now you may think you've been clever, that you sold someone some defective goods and you got away with it. You made a few extra pennies by getting rid of that defective goods. You made a few extra pennies by getting rid of them counterfeit notes. You fiddled someone and you're very proud of yourself. You will have to pay the price on the Day of Judgment. Them few extra pounds that you have earned today by you being clever, by you being wise, by you being sharp, on the Day of Judgment, it'll cost you more than them few pounds. Please, for the sake of your soul, refrain from telling lies. Please, for the sake of your soul, for the sake of your afterlife, for the sake of your grave, refrain from cheating individuals. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take the final break of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It is unfortunate that the mindset of performing good deeds is slowly decreasing within the Muslims, and sins are witnessed everywhere. There is no particular interest in the call towards righteousness. In this regard, let us listen to a frightening narration and instill the fear of divine punishment within ourselves. The beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "By the one in whose power lies my life, you will either command good and forbid evil, or Allah Almighty will swiftly send his punishment upon you. Then you will supplicate and your supplication will not be accepted." It is mentioned in Miratul Manaji under this hadith. This hadith clearly mentions how great a crime it is to make excuses for undertaking the responsibility of commanding good and forbidding evil. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "You must fulfill this obligation or you will face the punishment of Allah Almighty, and your supplication will not be accepted after this." And dear viewers on the channel, this is a major warning. That is to say, until you do not rectify your transgression and seek forgiveness from Allah Almighty, none of your supplications will be accepted. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And we said in this series of programs, we delve into our rich heritage. We look at the lives of our pious predecessors so that we can learn something from yesterday, make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. Sayyidina Ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah ta'ala, has once said that I humbly said to Sayyidina Sufyan Sauri that Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah ta'ala, avoids backbiting so much that I've never heard him committing backbiting even against his enemy. So he said, "By Allah Azza wa Jal, he is very sensible in this matter and he does not want his virtuous deeds to be overcome by any such thing that transformed them to the book of deeds of any other person." Sayyidina Dumaira rahmatullah ta'ala has stated that no one has any difference of opinion regarding the fact that Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala was the one who would speak the truth, who would never speak ill of anyone. He was once asked, "People speak ill of you, but you do not say anything to anyone." He replied, "It is my act of having patience. It is the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he bestows it upon whoever he wants." Sayyidina Bukhair bin Maruf, rahmatullah ta'ala, stated in the Ummah of the beloved Rasul, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, "I've not seen anyone more well-mannered than Sayyidina Imam Azam, rahmatullah ta'ala." Again, the good character of all of our pious predecessors shone through. I remember we were in Fazana Medina in Karachi, I think it was this time, or maybe when Nigran Ashura came to the UK, he said that of all of the lives of the pious predecessors, the lives of all of the four imams, the lives of all of the pious predecessors that he has read, he said in the lives of the righteous khalifas, in the lives of all of these great personalities, none of them ever committed the sin of backbiting. They stayed away from backbiting. They were very cautious of that sin and they protected themselves from that sin. Again, many of us, unfortunately,
don't even know what backbiting is. Backbiting is where you say something about your Muslim brother behind their back, that if they was to hear it, even though it is the truth, if they was to hear it, it would hurt them. You know, commenting on their height, commenting on their weight, commenting on their eyesight, commenting on their complexion, commenting on their hair, commenting on their clothes, commenting on their car, in a negative manner that if they were to hear it, it would hurt them. Commenting on the food that they eat, commenting on the food that they serve, commenting on the way they walk, the way they talk, all of these things, even though what you're ultimately saying is true. If what you're saying, if they were to hear it and it was to hurt them, it is backbiting. Why are we committing this sin? And I remember, I think I've shared this with you before, that alhamdulillah, may Allah bless our Nigran Ashur, the head of the executive committee of Dawat Islami. MashaAllah, you know, whenever he's asked a question, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him the capability to be able to answer the question. And he has that capability inside him. That very rarely I've ever seen him stuck for an answer. He's been able to come up with an acceptable answer. Only once, and I don't know if Nigran Ashura is going to watch this, but only once I've ever seen Nigran Ashura where all of a sudden his face was like, what do I say? And that was where he came to the UK and he was talking to the mixed community. There were Africans there, Somalians, Sunadines, brothers. And he mentioned backbiting in his speech. And after the speech, he was sat there and a young child said to him, can I ask something? And Nigran Ashura said, yes, what do you want to ask? He said, why do people backbite then? You know, you've told us of the destruction. Why do people backbite? And for a few seconds, Nigran Ashura was like, what? And he explained to him that people are not aware of the sin. People, you know, commit this sin and that it becomes a habit. People enjoy doing it. But just for them few seconds, you know, he was stumbling that, yeah, you know, why is it? And it's right. Why do people commit this sin? Time is very short. I've just realized I've only got a few moments. It is written in a book, Neki Ki Dawat, on page 396, a great book by Emil Sunnat, by the way. It is stated that Alama Abdul Wahab Sharani, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, stated that once Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, he went to the wuzu area of the Jami Masjid at Kufa, and he saw a young man performing wuzu, and drops of water were dripping down. He said to him, O son, repent of the disobedience to your parents. The person said, I have repented. And he immediately replied, seeing the drops of water of wuzu of another person, he said to him, O my brother, you repent from fornication. And the person said, I have repented. Seeing the drops of wuzu dripping down from another person, the imam said to him, repent of drinking wine and listening to songs and music. And the person said, I have repented. Due to this kafsh, faults of people would get disclosed before Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. And he made dua in the court of Allah. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal gave him this ability to be able to see other people's sins. Now, if me and you had that ability, what would we do? What would we do with that ability? Wow, brilliant. Yeah, I'll be able to see what he's doing. I'll be able to see what he's doing. I'll be able to see what he's up to. I'll be able to see what his sins committing. I'll be able to see all these things about me. I'll be able to find out all the secrets, all this gossip I'll be able to find out. What did Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa do? He did dua. Ya Allah, remove this from me. Ya Allah, take this ability from me. The pious people of the past, when Allah Azza wa Jalla gave them this ability, they didn't want it. Ya Allah, take it away. Take it away. We don't want to be able to see this. These are our role models, viewers of Malichawa. Make a change in your life. Learn a lesson from yesterday so that you can make a change in your life today so that you can have a better tomorrow. Viewers of Madri Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Allah. The universe is the body and its soul. Oh, yeah.